out behind the rectory, there is a tree, and I've talked about this tree before. It's the "we have always done things this way" tree. When I first came here about 4 years ago, Highland Community College planted three trees, and one is on their property just behind the rectory. And they looked at a plot or put it in a plot where it seems like there was an evergreen or a pine tree at one time. And they made a hole and they put this tree in it and they covered it up with dirt for several weeks after they had this big collar, a soaking hole was type of collar. They kept the collar filled up so it was watered for that first summer. But the soil, because there was evergreens, was probably very acidic and they watered it. Now, that same tree, unlike the other trees that they planted at the same time, is almost 3 feet tall. And I guess technically, it's a tree. It has leaves on it, and there's sort of woody stuff there, but it's not really like a tree. I know one day, the other day, there was a sparrow that came and sat on a branch, but it's not really a tree. It just sort of sits there. Somewhere in the protocol, somewhere in the procedures, and this is how we do things. They were taught that you open the hole, you put a tree in it, and you put the dirt on it, and that's how you plant a tree. They didn't really take in consideration all the other elements around it. And so it really hasn't grown. There's really like a tree, like we would think of a tree as well. It's sort of stunted in its growth, if you will. And that's the problem that we have in our world today. We have that in so many other places and spaces. We do things or out of habit. We do things because this is our procedure. This is our policy. This is our protocol. We've always done these actions, these activities in this particular way. And we believe and we think that in doing these processes in the same way, that we're always going to achieve these wonderful results, to be sure. And that happens in education and medicine and business and finance. And especially in the church, it seems a lot of times we educate or catechize in the same way we always have before. Not always realizing, not always taking into consideration, not always thinking about the fact, the understanding that so much around us in the world changes. And the call, the challenge for us is to respond to the world around us, to respond to the anxieties and the fears and the brokenness and the hurts and the pains through the eyes of faith, through the means of faith, allowing the faith and faithfulness that God bestows upon us to be expanded, to grow, to be nurtured and nourished. Because that's really what we're about. The Word of God made flesh, Jesus Christ, is one that comes into our lives. And Jesus Christ comes into our lives and makes our lives different. And that faith that we have in Jesus Christ, the faith that we have as we follow Jesus Christ, it's called to be nurtured and nourished throughout our lives as well. Today, we get a unique opportunity to see what Jesus means by the kingdom of God. We see this great illustration of God going out. God is the sower, and God goes out and spreads seed throughout the land, everywhere. And he does this graciously, with great generosity, sends his blessings, his graces upon everywhere, everybody. We all receive the word. The word, the seed of the word, is bestowed upon all peoples everywhere, far and wide. And it's done generously. It's not reserved. It's not taken back. It's not used in some kind of stingy way. But no, God's blessing and God's goodness is this great grace that has been given to each and every one of us. But we also understand that we are called to listen. It means that we are called to change our lives and transform our lives, to make ourselves ready. And people are in different places and different spaces as well. So just as we are nurtured and nourished by this word, by this blessing, this grace, we have to also be aware of how we help one another as people of faith, as people of God, of people of holiness as well. Jesus Christ today leaves the house, leaves that place of comfort and security, goes out into the outside. We'll do this in a little while today as well. We leave this church, this place that we're comfortable in, this place that we find homey, that we know very well because we've been here for X amount of years. So we know this church, we know this community, we know this community of faith that we're surrounded by. So we're very comfortable. But then we'll be called to go forth and proclaim God's good word. We're called to go out of our comfortable place and go out into the world. And that's a challenge for us as well, And Jesus takes on that challenge. He takes his posture as a teacher. He sits down, and those who are his hearers gather around, and they sit at his feet as well. It's almost like when I teach in high school. You know, I sit down in my teacher chair, and all my seniors sit around on the floor, cross-legged around me as well. That's how I teach. But this is what Jesus is doing today. Jesus is teaching, and Jesus proclaims the story of the sower who goes out and sows seed. But we cannot get God's word unless we are prepared, unless our hearts are made ready. We cannot understand or fathom or really contemplate what God is about unless we have that heart that's open to the possibilities of God and godliness in our lives. And that's the invitation for each and every one of us. If we are to receive God's word, that we must nurture and nourish the soil in which we have been planted, that we are called to be open to the possibilities of godliness, that we listen intently, not just with our ears, with our hearts as well, with minds open, reflecting and pondering and contemplating the goodness of God, seeking out God first above all things, allowing our hearts and our lives to be distracted, undistracted from all the stuff and the yuck and the gunk that seems to crash down in on us, and to be open to the possibilities of God. Where's God calling me to? How is God inviting me to be part of this communion, part of this community? What is God inviting me to be about in my life? How is God calling me to be a person of greater holiness, a person of the kingdom? And that, to be sure, is the challenge that we seem to face. But we need to hand on that tradition as well. And handing on the tradition is knowing that we know, means that we know the tradition well, that we have a familiarization and we have a sense of what God has taught us, what God has given us, so we are able to pass it on. These last several years, the Catholic Church has talked a lot about evangelization and stewardship and catechesis, about when we look around ourselves, we see our church attendance down and less young people coming to church, we wring our hands, but be sure, the question is, well, what are we doing? What do we need to do? How do we need to respond? Especially when we look at all the crises that our world faces today. How do we respond as a people of God? How do we draw people into the body of Christ? The Pew Research Center has done a lot of studies on this in recent years, and one of them, you know, it's very sad to be sure, is that Catholics are only second to Jews in the ineffectiveness of handing on the tradition of our faith. We're second only to the Jews of ineffectiveness of handing on our tradition of faith. Think about that. We have 2,000 years of teaching. We have holy men and women, 2,000 years of holy men and women. We have ritual and prayer, all these wonderful things. And so often, what do we give to our young people? We give them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We don't allow them to enter into the greatness, into the glory, and the grandeur of all that the church is about. We starve those who are coming after us. We don't allow ourselves to, for our own selves, to know what the church teaches, what the church is about, what the church is saying to each and every one of us, and we don't hand it on either. We forget, and we're negligent in sharing prayer and prayerfulness, the understanding of sacred scripture, and the beauty and the wonder and the power and the glory of the sacraments that we receive as well. And to be sure, not only that, but in our culture today, we sometimes promote a tolerance of beliefs and understanding within the culture. So what we do is we say, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, so we're going to water down our beliefs. You can believe this, but if that hurts your feelings, or that's hard for you, or difficult for you, you don't have to believe that. You don't have to accept that as well. Why don't you just do these things over here that are easy for you? We sort of proclaim or preach or want to present a nice Jesus, a Jesus who's very soft and comfortable and fluffy, rather than one who challenges us and calls us into the kingdom of God. Rather than ask people to be about conversion and discipleship, we ask people simply to be nice to one another, to be kind to each other, almost Barney the Dinosaur like to one another as well. We feed each other with cotton candy rather than the good food, the good stuff that our Lord Jesus Christ offers each and every one of us. So we're not nurtured, we're not nourished at all. We're not stretched. We don't present the imagination of the kingdom of God for one another. And sometimes that's the ignorance. And that's the other thing the Pew Research Center also says, that so often for Catholics today, there's an ignorance of belief and dogmas of Catholics. One of the sayings when we talk about social justice teachings in the church, we see that the social justice teachings of the church are the best kept secrets of the Catholic Church, because people don't know about them. We don't share them. We don't read them. We don't ponder them, reflect upon them, or apply them to our own lives at all. So there's an ignorance, if you will, of the dogmas and the doctrines, the teachings of our church. We lack that Catholic culture. And when things get difficult, we don't have that perseverance to stay focused, to stay orientated and directed. We don't allow ourselves to engage in right worship of God the Father in heaven. We're easily drawn away or distracted, and we move from one place to another. Things are seemingly holy, seemingly godlike, and we don't always allow ourselves or those who come after us to touch those things that are sacred, or holy, or good, or beneficial for us as well. In today's world, too, one of the largest religious groups are the nuns. N-O-N-E-S, the nuns. I have no religion at all. I'm spiritual. I'm not religious, people will say. How are we doing to help them understand, to unfold before them all that we teach, all that we stand for, all that we are about? How do we allow ourselves not only to profess faith for ourselves, but to share the faith that we profess with one another? Again, nurturing and nourishing the garden that we've been planted in. Anxiety chokes us away, distractions and anger and all sorts of fun things as well. We're unable to remain focused in the midst of sin and confusion in our world today. When I was on vacation, read this great book by a gentleman by the name of Kevin Lowry. And Kevin Lowry operates this group, and it's a group on restoring Catholics, especially fallen away Catholics, and drawing Catholics into the church. And the book he wrote, he's a Presbyterian, he's the son of a Presbyterian minister. He wrote this book called How God Hauled Me, Kicking and Screaming, into the Catholic Church. And he writes, he said, I now find myself not only Catholic, but gratefully, enthusiastically, and committedly so. With 8 kids and the rosary in my car that I use for prayer rather than decoration, let me tell you, it took a long time, a long time. And we have to look at that. We have to come to understand and recognize that we are all at different places in a journey of faith, and that our lives have to somehow resemble the faith that we profess. And that we are always in process of nurturing and nourishing not only our own lives on that grace, the blessing, the goodness that God bestows upon us. Seeking out God by worshiping fully, integrity, and in truth our God in heaven. By celebrating the sacraments with devotion. By praying, really praying in our lives. Reflecting upon the scriptures. Doing spiritual reading. And maybe getting spiritual direction. Belonging to small Christian communities. All these kinds of things nurture and nourish our faith. And in doing so then, we bear good fruit in which we are able to support and encourage the faith of one another and to pass on that faith as well. Because we have become invested in it. We've become part of it. We allow our lives to draw strength in the tradition that we have and allow ourselves to be built up into a holy edifice. And in doing so then, we're no longer this scuzzy little tree, this scraggly little tree that sits out there in the middle of nowhere. But rather, we become this enormous structure that draws people into its shade and bears good food for people around us as well. And that's really our challenge. It's interesting because Kevin Lowry talks about, he said when he first went into a Catholic church, it was an extremely disappointing experience. He said, I went in, and two things that stood out for him. He said that there was no welcome. There was no sense of hospitality. There was no sense of people wanting to talk to him. He said, you know, it was a large church, but he sort of stood out. No one made any gesture to welcome him or to ask him if he was new in that parish or that community. And people were seemed very aloof to him, very cold to him. It's the other thing that really struck him. He said, unlike his father's Presbyterian church, he said that people were so quick to get out of that church. He said, we're in the Presbyterian church. You know, you usually, you know, sing all 7-8 verses of a song. He said, boy, the priest barely left. The people are pouring out, pushing out of the church to get out of there. He said, you know, if Catholics really believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, why are they so quick to get out of there? They really believe that what they're celebrating there is the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior. Why would they want to leave? Why would anyone want to leave the presence of our Savior? Wouldn't you want to stay there and pray for a while? Wouldn't you want to stay and be bathed in that presence of Jesus Christ? But he said, you know, I'm watching all these people. They can't wait to get out of there as well. And that really challenged him as well. And our faith is challenging. Our faith is very difficult at times. It asks us to be holy as our Father in heaven is holy. I remember there was one of my students back at St. Ed's High School when I taught at St. Ed's. As a young girl, I taught a freshman class on Catholic Church teachings. It was sort of like an introduction to morality class. And one of the young girls there, I remember so well because she was so obnoxious. You know, and anything you talked about, she'd complain and she didn't agree with anything. She always had a problem with everything that we talked about. But I remember the one time, you know, Father, why can't the church, her question was, why can't the church be like everyone else? Why can't we believe like everyone else? You know, the church wouldn't be at odds with everybody if we just believed like everybody else. Because we're not like everybody else. We are countercultural. And we see that in the teachings, in the preaching, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, that we're not like everyone else around us, that we are countercultural, that we stand in the midst of darkness, we stand in the midst of a broken world, a hurting world, a world that is in need of healing and peace. We stand as the instrument of salvation for so many people. We stand against the current culture that sort of celebrates death and the yuckiness of life, and easy answers and good feelings. That we are called to stand against all that, to stand for those things that are good and true and really beautiful. And that's what we're called to be. And that's how we are. And sometimes we're very much at odds with the world around us. But we're a countercultural church, a countercultural community. And we get strengthened to do our mission, to do our ministry, by hearing that Word of God and allowing it to take root in our very hearts. The Word of God must be the central focus and priority in our lives. The Word of God that falls in good soil is marked by understanding, persistence, determination in faith, and very importantly, bearing good fruit. And we get there by the sacraments, by prayer, full and active participation in the Mass. We have a special privilege of hearing Jesus today interpret one of his own parables. He tells us three basic reasons why the word is not accepted into our hearts: a lack of understanding, a lack of discipline, a lack of priority. Matthew suggests that some people were simply not ready to believe, and therefore found Jesus too much for them when they walked away. But the words that Jesus speaks are the key to the kingdom of heaven. The knowledge of these mysteries, Jesus says, has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. We are called to allow the mystery of faith to build us up as a holy edifice, a holy place, a holy household. Without the readiness to be open with our hearts, our minds, our souls, our entire lives, to make God the source of everything that we're about, not part of something that's part of our life. That we have sports over here, and I have academics over here, my work over here, my recreation, and oh yeah, God is over here too. No, God is the umbrella on which all of us live under. God is the center. God is the focus of everything that we do, how we live and serve God fully with our heart, mind, and soul, and how we live with one another as well as people of God. And that's the mystery of faith that we celebrate. And the barest moment of faith, the littlest thing that we do as a faith people because of faith, the smallest way that we allow our faith to somehow change us, brings about a transformation, conversion, and discipleship. Just as we need to be ready to hear God's truth, even in the words that challenge us the most, we must always stand before the Lord and give praise and thanks to the word that comes among us. Amen.